manifesting the invisible, and we've talked about walking in the hidden realities of God. And I believe that God has indeed been favorable towards us in showing us some hidden realities that we as the people of God are walking in this year. As a specific subject matter, I want to continue on hope. Hope being one of those hidden realities that we're walking in. But as I forestated a little earlier when we were talking, I said, I believe today is going to be a day of healing. Well, let me tell you, go with me to Proverbs chapter 13. I can explain myself a little better. Proverbs 13 and 12, King James. The Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. God's going to heal some hearts. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Now, some of us will say, well, Pastor, what's deferred? You know, when you get your school loan deferred, you know how you can rejoice because you ain't got to pay it right then? Well, what the scripture is saying is when hope is put off, when hope is delayed, when hope is postponed, it makes the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. And see, some of us have put off, some of us have postponed, we have set aside the hope, and our heart has gotten sick. But he's the Lord that healeth thee. Some healings need to take place on the inside so that they can be made manifest on the outside. So this morning, if you all will allow me to, we're going to talk about manifesting hope when there's no obvious reason. Manifesting hope when there is no obvious reason why you have hope. Bad as your situation is. Because I think God talks to us. Well, I know he comes right where we at. Manifesting hope when there is no obvious reason. You talking about, it ain't no, Donna, you can't even see the reason. Why should you have hope? Let's talk. Point number one. Biblical hope is often not supported by our natural senses. Now, I'm going to give you 3 points today, and I'm going to have a question after each point that I want you to answer for yourself, because it's about us leaving here healed and not with a sick heart. Okay? But biblical hope is often not supported by our natural senses. So what do I mean by that? It's not often supported by our natural senses. If you are looking around for something to put your hope on based on, let me clarify some things for us as we go into this though. I am talking about the hope that some of us had when God spoke something over us. I am talking about the hope that maybe you were in your own private time with the Lord and he spoke something into your spirit and you rejoiced and you received that, but there has been a thing called time in between then and now. Amen. I am talking about something where God spoke to you. Maybe it was a prophetic word. You were in service and somebody ministered a word of the Lord unto you. And boy, you were excited about it. You know, one of the things that's interesting, You know, the Bible says, despise not prophesying. Why would somebody despise prophesying? Unless somebody's keep prophesying to them, and it don't look like it's... So all of a sudden, you think that the prophesying is the problem. Oh, I'm just seeing if I can stay in the book and warm up for a minute. Do you know that there are people who aren't... I don't want to even hear, the Lord, please don't tell me that again. Really? Because you've gotten to the place that you have no hope. Not understanding that God is sending the word to you again to cause the hope to be regurgitated from the inside of you, to latch on to the faith to that word again. But you have gotten to the point where you despise the prophecy. That's all right. We're here. So that the heart that's been made sick by the deferred hope could be made well. Hebrews 11 and 1. Because I shared with you that biblical hope is not often supported by our natural senses. And I said, well, what do we mean by that? Let's read the scripture for a second. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the support or the foundation of our hope or the things that we're hoping for is not something we see. It's faith. Can you follow me on that? Now, I'm going to find you in a minute. This is just to warm you up. So trust or faith is the foundation of whatever we are anticipating or expecting. That's the foundation that everything is built on. Trust. So trust also, if you look at the scripture, it says the evidence of things not seen. So trust is also the evidence or the proof of our expectation or confidence, not what we see. Meaning, our biblical hope is often not supported by the things we see. So, let's talk for a moment. Romans 8 and 24 and 25, we're just warming up. The Bible says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. So if you can see what you are hoping for, you don't need hope. So biblical hope is often not supported by our senses. I know you just kind of like, okay, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying very easily, why are you discouraged when it looks like things are not lining up then? Because it ain't based on what you see anyway. Well, I heard this. Why are you moved by what you heard? Because it's not based on your senses anyway. See, we make a determination on things based on what we see. We have been programmed that way, but God is trying to reprogram us. For it says, the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We know all of those scriptures, but are you implementing them in the course of your faith walk now? See, because now our hope is not built on something our senses can detect. Our hope is built in a trust in the living God. So let me ask you the question for number one. We sung a wonderful song. Our answer is going to be yes. What if there were no signs or no confirmations? Will you still walk the path you were given? Listen to me. What if there were no signs in your life? No confirmations of whatever you're believing God for, would you still walk the path that God gave you? You said yes. You sung the beautiful song. But let's talk about your life. Knowing that biblical hope often does not have a sense or a sensory perception that correlates with it. In other words, you can't look at this and say, oh yeah, I can hope in that. I can hope on it. It's often the opposite. So since you can't see nothing, it gives you a better reason to hope. No signs, no confirmations. Now, what path are you going to take? That's your question to answer. Number two, I'm going to give you some text here in a minute. Number two, biblical hope is not predicated on circumstances or situations being conducive. Biblical hope is not predicated on circumstances or situations being conducive. Now, you need to hear me now, because this is, if I were to look at, let me give you a scenario, Doug. I hope you don't mind this. We have a soon-to-be Dr. Hall. But I would venture to say that when you failed out of college initially, that your hope did not look like it had a good basis to be conducive to you becoming a Dr. Hall. But biblical hope is not predicated on circumstances or situations looking conducive. I'm trying to make sure that we get this today. Because so often we throw things away because they don't look like they'll line up. They don't look like they'll be useful. They don't look like they'll provide the path or the benefit that we want from them. So we say, you know what? Don't worry about this. I can't derive any good from this, and toss it aside. Oftentimes, we find ourselves burning bridges that we shouldn't. Come on, hope was the bridge of anticipation. We find ourselves burning bridges that we shouldn't. You had to be here on Wednesday to get that one. Go with me to Genesis chapter 11, verse 30. I want to take you on a hope journey. I want to see if we can find ourselves on this journey. The Bible says to us, these things were written for our examples. You don't have to do everything you saw everybody else do, but you can take the example of what they did and benefit from it. So I said, biblical hope is not predicated on circumstances or situations being conducive. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 30, the Bible is talking about Abraham and his entire, or Abram at this time, and his family. It is their preparation in Haran. It is what's going on with his family. It is the collective of the family that Abram was associated with. And the Bible makes a distinction in Genesis 11 and 30, and it says something. It says Sarai was barren. Now, this is very interesting because this is the beginning of our introduction to Sarai. It is also the beginning of our introduction to Abram. We're finding about his family, about his predecessors, his dad. But it says something very strange. Sarai was barren. Well, I know you say, well, Pastor, that just means she didn't have any kids. You're right. Let's see if we can maybe find something about that. She's barren, and they knew it. Genesis chapter 12. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. You know this passage of scripture. The Bible says, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get out of your country, leave your kindred, get away from your father's house, go to a land I'm going to show you. Verse 2, he says, listen, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to make of you a great nation. That barren wife of yours. Come on, talk to me, saints. Talk to me. Yeah, that little barren wife, you know. Verse 3, he said, now wait a minute. I'm going to bless them to bless you, and we'll curse them to curse you, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Can God ever say something to you that's bigger than you can conceive? Can you still hope in it? We already know she's barren. Walk with me on a faith journey, please. Let's see how hope works here. Genesis chapter 16, verse 2. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Now, wait a minute. Genesis chapter 11, we find out that she's barren. 5 chapters later, she said, listen, God has done this. But you know what she's really saying? We've been trying. Oh, I'm going to talk to you today for real because it's some stuff we need to learn. We have been trying for 5 chapters. Oh, yeah. This ain't new. So look what she says. The Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. She said, listen, we've been doing the very best we could. I've been trying to make this thing happen. Now, maybe this is the way. Does that sound familiar to any of us? Lord, watch this. I know what God want to do. I'm just trying to figure out how he want to do it. Surely this looked like the way God want to do it then. God, I've been 5 chapters. I've been trying. Since it ain't worked for me for these last 5 chapters, here is my maid over here. Here's my alternative route that I had on the side just in case things didn't work out. Mm-hmm. See, sometimes we seek to make things happen in accordance to what God said, but find things becoming barren or restrained by God. Now, Lord, I don't understand here. Now, you said, let me talk to you for real. You said, because see, I know that this is what I'm about to say. I know it's in this room. Donald, what did I say? I said, I know it's in this room. That God has spoke to somebody about being wealthy. And it looked like instead of being wealthy, you going on the other end of the spectrum. And you saying, God, I know you said. I'll try everything. I'm still at 5 chapters of trying this thing. So this, you know, I did have this little, you know, I mean, I know we ain't supposed to play the lottery, but you, Lord, you know. I know we ain't supposed to do lottery, but Lord, it seemed like folk just winning. So, you know, Lord, you wouldn't mind after all. You know how much I can give then? Let me just go in unto the maid. See, we start to fabricate ways that it can happen there. We start to begin to put together our own process to fulfill what God said. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 2, I want to ask you this, and I want you to really just slow down for a second. Why didn't God allow Sarai to become pregnant? It's 5 chapters. He said you was going to make Abraham father of many nations. I mean, you're going to cause all those nations to be blessed by. Why didn't you just get a man a baby by his wife? Lord, what's the deal? Why are you holding back on me on what you said? God, I know what you said. Five chapters of trying. Kind of getting tired of this thing now. I mean, you know, come on, Lord. I mean, after all, nothing's too hard for the Lord. So the first one to give up is Sarai. I'm done with this. Go get her. Maybe this is the way it works. It's not that she didn't want to have a baby. She said, well, maybe this is the way it works. You ever find yourself in positions where you say, well, God, maybe it worked this other way. Okay. But my question is, why didn't God, I mean, come on, y'all. This is what's happening to us. I mean, you ever been in there and you said, well, Lord, we need money to build a church. Why don't you just bless me like you said you was going to do now? I mean, come on, Lord, what's wrong? You know what I want to do. Anybody here? Because see, our hearts are sick and God's got to heal them. So we got to find out why. I don't understand this thing. This is what the Lord said to? My goodness, I'm going through this struggle trying to pay this stupid light bill and we need to do more than that? I have a question. What would Abram and Sarai miss out on learning about God if he'd have gave them a baby then? What would they have missed out on learning about God if he'd have gave them a baby after five chapters? What would you miss out on learning about God if he gave it to you right there when you said you wanted it? See, just because God promised it to us don't mean that's the time for us to get it. Just hold on. We're still traveling in this whole, we're on the hope journey right now. Genesis chapter 16, verse 16. The Bible says that Abram is 86 years old. He just had Ishmael. 86 years old. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Okay, 86 years old. 86. James, you with me? 86. Not 68. 86. Watch this. It would seem that this is the time that we conclude that Sarai circumstances and situation is no longer conducive to producing a baby. Let me see if I can find you. The Bible says he's 86 when Hagar produces Ishmael. Meaning at 86, even Abram must have looked and said, you know what, Sarah? Baby, I love you, but you've been barren since Genesis chapter 11. Here we are, Genesis 16 and 16. You, girl. So wait a minute. Wait, no. See, are y'all really ready for this? You know what you just found out now? It wasn't Abram. See, before, maybe you could have wondered, Lord, what's wrong with us? But now that he went into Hagar and Hagar conceived, oh, girl, it ain't me. My stuff working. See, sometimes we find out that it works for other people, but not for us. And when it's working for other people and not for us, it's easy to just lay, well, I don't know what's wrong with them. God going to, watch this, he going to just use me. Really? See, don't burn them bridges. You can begin to treat Sarai like she crazy if you want to. Oh, look, I got a few of y'all with me. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. I'm going to jump through this a little bit. In Genesis chapter 17, 13 years have passed. Are you with me? In Genesis chapter 17, we are now six chapters past Sarai first being declared barren. We're now 13 years into Ishmael being born. So he's a teenager. And Sarai still ain't got no baby. And now God shows up again, and God shows up and starts talking about this thing called covenant. And it's a covenant that you're going to have an innumerable amount of children. Elder Campbell, I have found out that God will talk about the thing that you desire the most, but do not have the ability to achieve. You know what Abraham says? Wait a minute. How are we going to do that seeing I go childless and the only one I have is this Ishmael that's been, wait a minute, I don't have any kids. What do you mean an innumerable amount of descendants? What do you mean? How am I going to hope when my situation and my circumstances look so contrary to being conducive to what you're saying? How are you going to just show up 13 years later now, God, and start telling me about this? You know what me and Sarah have went through? Relationship a little rocky now. Oh, you say it ain't? She said, well, listen, you better get rid of Hagar. I think Sarai might have been a little dark skinned. Hallelujah. She was like, yeah, that other woman, she got to go. I don't care if she don't have a baby or not. She got to go. Watch this. Come on, just stick with me. Now God does something even more incredible. Not only did he talk to you about the covenant, but now he said, listen, I want to do something. I want to change your name. See, okay, not only is this going to affect you, but now people are going to call you something different. Oh, my goodness. Lord, I thought we could just keep this between us, God. I thought just me and you can deal with this, you know, and I could deal with my hope being lost, but now you want people to call me the father of many nations and I still don't have any kids? You want people to start calling me blessed and they just repossess my stuff? Mm-hmm. I'm just making sure we all there. And you mean that you want me to, wait a minute. It was 86 when I had Ishmael. Now at 99, you want me to have a new name, and the new name is Father of Many Nations. Lord, you do know folks ain't spitting out children at 99, right? You do know that, God. You are aware of that. See, I want you to understand that sometimes we think that we cannot have hope because our situation and our circumstances are not conducive to what we believe they should be. And we say, well, I can't hope in that. Tell me why you can't when that's exactly the pattern in Scripture. Genesis 17, verses 15 and 16. God changes Sarai's name and specifically says he'll bless her with a son. Now, wait a minute. I ain't had no kids since Genesis chapter 11, verse 30. We don't try everything we can. We don't been to all of the clinics. We don't seen everybody. We don't done all the stuff we supposed to do. And now you say, not only am I going to have a child, but it's going to be a son? Wait a minute now. specifically told her, a son. Are y'all with me? Wait a minute. We had already in Genesis 16 and 16, we had concluded that Sarah's stuff don't work. Did we not? You agreed with me because we found out that when Abram went into Hagar, she conceived. Meaning the problem or the person with the issue was Sarai. So now here we are, Sarai. Abram is now 99, 13 years older, and you going to have a baby. A son. By him. Remember, you were the one who had the problems before when you were younger. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want you all to see how we can have hope. Can I put something out there for you? Sarai means princess. Sarah means princess. So why would God change Sarai to Sarah? Is that a good question? Elder, you ready for this? I felt he shared with me, so I'm just going to share it with you. Sarai means princess. Sarah means princess. Sarai was barren. Sarah was not. Look at this. Oh, my goodness. Genesis 18. I got to move on. Genesis chapter 18, verse 10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now watch. This is interesting. Now Sarah hears God talking before Abram is in on all of the conversation. So now Sarah has heard. Faith cometh by what? I'm just seeing if you're in the book. Verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. You understand how the Bible won't let you get away from the fact that they were not conducive to bearing children? It gives you a description of their condition. It gives you a description of their condition because God wants you to know just because your condition don't line up, it doesn't affect his word. So now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, if you can't comprehend this, Sarah is no longer menstruating. It ain't happening no more. There is no place for the seed to produce. There's no way a baby can be born. It ceased to be with her after the manner of women. It is impossible now. It is no longer conducive now. It is the situation does not line up now. The circumstance, it's not apparent how it's going to be. Just want you to know. We ain't going in this thing blind. This is miracle 101. Therefore, the Bible's saying, therefore, because it's letting you know, since Sarah knew all of this. See, don't you think Sarah knows what's happening with her body? Like, listen, it ain't going down no more. It stopped. It's over. It has obviously been over long enough for Sarah to have recognized that it does not work anymore. Oh, I want you to see this. Because we get in situations and we think our stuff, just because something is not working anymore, does not mean that God don't want to use it. All I'm asking you is, can you still have hope in God? Not your situation, not your circumstance. Hope in God. The Bible says, after Sarah recognized all what was happening or what wasn't happening with her anymore, the Bible says, therefore Sarah laughed within herself. Girl, you wouldn't believe what I just heard. The craziest thing I've heard in all my life. The Bible says Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? Now, you do that the way you want to do that. My Lord being old also, both of us old. Verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? You know, the interesting thing, God heard her laugh. I don't have time to do this, but let me just, I'll do this quickly. Before Sarah laughed, Abraham did. So don't get all off on Sarah. Abraham laughed and said, man, boy, this is crazy. You gonna do what? So Abraham laughed first. Then Sarah laughed. Then God said, all right, since everybody laughing, his name is Isaac. And all of us gonna laugh when you call his name because Isaac means laughter. Oh, God got a sense of humor. Verse 14 though. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Not Hagar, Sarah. My question to you as we end point number two. Do you still believe even though things look unbelievable? Listen to me, beloved. Do you still believe even though things look unbelievable? Do you believe that you could come out of that situation even though things still look unbelievable? Do you believe you could own your own place even though still things look unbelievable? I mean, what you dreamt of, the dream that's in your heart, do you still believe it even though it looks unbelievable? See, God's healing some hearts today. Lord, it's been a long time. We done tried everything we know. We done tried to repair the credit. We done tried to fix the credit. We done tried to increase the credit. We done tried to do everything. Do you still believe even when things look unbelievable? Number three. This kind of hope pleases God. This kind of hope pleases God. Go with me, New Living Translation, Romans chapter 4, verse 17. New Living Translation, Romans chapter 4, verse 17. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Let me share with you something about that passage there. Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life. Do you believe God can resurrect what you're dealing with? Listen to me. I'm totally serious. Do you believe God can resurrect what you're dealing with? Just because it's dead, it don't look like it's going to produce. Do you believe that he can resurrect what you're dealing with? If not, it's because you forgot who God is. See, that's why people lose hope. They forget who God is. Look at the second part of Abraham and what he said. Not only do I believe, did Abraham believe that he could bring back to life he's what was dead, who creates new things out of nothing. God don't need your help. Out of nothing, he can make what you need. If it ain't here already, don't worry about it. God can make it. That's when you remember who God is. This is the kind of hope that pleases God. Because look, it's all based on who he is, not you. Not your situation. Oh, I just saw something. I just saw something. Oh, Father, thank you. Verse 18. Listen to this. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. Can you keep hoping in what God has said even when there's no obvious reason to hope? Can you continue to hope when there's no obvious reason to hope? Boy, oh boy. Sometimes I get a little glimpse. And it's a glimpse of what you like in the future. And it's far better than what you are right now. But you're going to have to ride the bridge of anticipation. Because it's what God said to you. I see it because he let me see it. You see it because he said it to you. Look at this. Verse 19. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. My circumstance is dead. And so was Sarah's womb. My circumstance is dead and her situation is dead. But his faith did not weaken. When every conceivable way of accomplishing what God said is dead, do you still believe? Listen to me. When every, because each one of us, we have in our mind how God is going to do what he said he's going to do. What happens when you can scratch all of them off and they haven't worked? Do you still believe? I know if I just sow this $100 seed, it's going to be a turnaround. And you sow the $100 seed and there's no turnaround in sight. Do you still believe? This is the kind of hope that pleases God. Let me just share something with you. All of you all that God has shared with you about being financially stable and being able to be, that in your heart is a desire to give. You are a giver. Every one of you all, listen, every one of you all that pertains to, there's been times when you were challenged by the Holy Spirit to sow, to give. And you look for something and something didn't happen. Not the way that you thought it would. Listen, it's to see what you believe. Because watch this. The true test of what a man believes is what he does. I'm going to keep doing what I believe. The results are not what dictate whether I keep doing it. It's what I believe. You think I'm just saying something? Every day you get up and you believe you saved. Because you believe it, you do things a certain way. You seek to please God because you believe it. Watch this. Not because Jesus came back and got you and took you to heaven, but because you believe that you keep doing life a certain way. It's what you believe. It ain't the results. It's what you believe. That's why you have hope. For we're saved by hope. And hope that is seen is not hope. See, I believe something. And I'm doing in accordance to my belief. I know you've heard people say, well, I'm going to give this. If you get this $54 and $52 and then 1 week, or 1 week's this and do this. All of these things. And I'm not saying if the Lord gives them that, then that's fine. But I'm simply saying there are times where you will do it and it will be by the Spirit of God. And the result won't be there. Not the one you was expecting. But the test is, do you believe? Do you believe? You believe enough to keep doing it? You believe enough to be like Abraham and say, I and the lad, we will return. Oh, I know what God said, but we're coming back. See, do you believe it enough to still do it? Abraham, verse 20. The Bible says Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. Are you ready for this? Instead of growing weak in our faith, we can actually get stronger as it gets worse. No, you didn't hear that. You didn't hear that. Instead of getting weaker in our faith, we can actually get stronger as it gets worse. Well, Pastor, I don't know. How can you do that? That's what happened with Abraham. Maybe, listen, maybe part of your purpose in the delay is to bring glory to God. Are you hearing me? Maybe part of the purpose of your delay is to bring glory to God. Because Abraham, I ask you, why didn't God give Abraham and Sarah the child in the beginning? He still brought it through their relationship. Why didn't he just do it then? Because you and I would have never learned what it's like to have hope. Amen. To have hope when it don't look like we should have hope. To have hope when everything is dead. To have hope when every conceivable form or fashion of it coming to pass is gone. To have hope when it looks like the resources that God is going to use are both dried up. We'd have never learned that God can still do it when it don't look like it's doable. Maybe the part of your delay, what it's playing out is, it's giving God glory. Just wait to the end. Let me, I'm finished with this right here. Last one. Verse 21. It says he was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. My question to you on this last point, are you still willing to please your Savior? Listen to me. Because when we started off on this journey, we were willing to do whatever it took to please God. Whatever, however, we were singing yes in our hearts. But now a little time has passed. Now things don't look quite as doable as they may have looked in the beginning. Now watch this, Ken. The Bible actually says at 86 years old, Abraham had Hagar. Abraham and Hagar got together and had Ishmael. It looked like, okay, well, this is what God's going to use. But God shows up 13 years later when Abraham is 99 with a whole new plan of instructions. And they don't include Ishmael. What am I saying? Can you see yourself past the times where God ain't given any instructions? 13 years, all he had was Ishmael. And you know what God says what Abraham says when God shows up? Oh, that Ishmael would live forever before you. He said, listen, I got something for him, but what I got is beyond that. I still want to use what you think is unusable. I still want to do what you think is undoable. I still want to use what you think is inconceivable. Matter of fact, Sarah's going to have a son. What? She's been barren since we started. That's right. I'm going to use what you think can't be used. And now here you are, not, watch this, not in your prime anymore. You thinking that, Lord, if Ishmael could just live before you, because I know I can't produce nothing else now. That's my best shot. That's it. He said, no. Because you laughed and because Sarah laughed, I'm going to show y'all what it's like to really laugh. I believe God still wants to heal the hearts that have been saddened by the time in between what he promised us and it being fulfilled. Some of us have tried to ride that bridge and it's looked real bad. We come in and the best thing we can do is just make it sometime. But I believe God wants to heal today. He wants to heal the sickness of our hearts. Listen, every head bowed, eyes are closed. We want the Holy Spirit to continue to minister today so that we can have hope when there is no reason to have hope. Because we understand now that this is the kind of hope that pleases God. And God is doing something in us to please himself. This is bigger than just us. It's bigger than you just getting what he promised you. It's bigger than you just getting what's in your heart. Abraham wasn't aware that he was going to be the father of many nations in the sense that there were going to be people down through all years and years and years and eons later who would benefit from his hope. All he was dealing with was what was in front of him. Some of us, all that we're dealing with is what's in front of us. But do you realize that it's connected to something so much bigger, and that's bringing glory to God? I'm asking you right now, if you could just take a moment, if we could just be still just for a moment, I want the Holy Spirit to begin to bring back to your remembrance the things that he said to you, the things that he talked to you about in your own time, the things that he gave you prophetically, the things that he shared with you, and the things that he caused you to have hope in. I want you to reconnect to that. I want you to reconnect to that thing that looked like it's beyond being done. It's almost forgotten. But the Holy Spirit is bringing it back now. The Bible says he brings all things back to our remembrance because he wants you to hope. He wants you to live. He wants you to know that hope's not in vain. I know you felt crazy. I know you were hurt. I know you were disappointed. But the Holy Spirit says, no, that's not over. I know you tried your very best to make it happen. I know you tried to line up everything in your life. You thought this was it, this was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, bam, the way you figured things out fell apart. And it seemed like everything began to die after that. But Abraham had faith that God could raise even from the dead things. And if that wasn't enough, God could make new things from nothing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your life is not over. One mistake did not change the plan of God. Because you abandoned what you felt God was doing at the moment does not change what God wants to do. The Holy Spirit is drawing you back. He is wooing you right now back to that place again. That you would hope in God. Not man. Not position. Not status. But you would hope in God. Because yes, there is more that he requires of you. The more is hope. The more is hope. To hope again. Because it means that you're trusting him again. It wasn't God who disappointed you. It was when you found out it didn't work the way you thought it was going to. It was when you realized that this ain't what he's doing. This ain't what he's using. See, sometimes we get presumptuous and jump before God because it looked like we know the path. And we quick to say, well, God, I got it from here. Hagar is it. This is it, God. This is the way you're going to do it. And then God has a way of showing up later and say, you know what? That's not it. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to use that. Because what I promised you is covenant. It's not something else that you can manufacture. It's not something else that you can fabricate yourself. Saints, this is a time for healing. This is a time for reconnecting your hope to what God said to you. Despite how you feel, despite what you may have gone through, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants to bring you back to that place of hoping in him. Where when people look at you and they say, well, what are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to believe God. This is what he said. And you're not afraid to say it out because they called Abraham's name every day. What do you mean your new name is Abraham? What do you mean your new name is the father of many nations and here you are walking around with no kids? You know how crazy that sounds? Yep. How crazy does it sound now? When multitudes have come from Abraham. How crazy does it sound now when God has fulfilled his promise? Are you willing to stand up and have that kind of hope again? Where when that enemy tells you, you crazy for believing that. And when you can say like the scripture says, I have believed, therefore have I spoken. I shared with you what I was believing God for, but can you be willing to share with others what you believe in God for because of what he spoke to you? This thing is real. Reconnect with that hope again. Reconnect your hope with God. You're not abandoning this. You're not throwing it away. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Ye have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. That's your hope. That's your hope. That's your hope in God. Heavenly Father, I thank you as we have indeed bowed our heads before you in utter humility, honoring you for who you are. Holy Spirit, I feel you reconnecting us to our hope, reconnecting us to the words that you've spoken over us, the things that you've said. God, I see some of us literally dusting off things that have been on the shelf, things that we've put up and set aside and just considered no way possible. How could you ever do that through us? But Lord, this is a day of healing. Hearts that have been sick because of hope that's been deferred. God, I pray that a tree of life would begin to spring forth now. God, because of that hope being made manifest, that the promise itself would also be made manifest. Lord, stir up this, your people, like never before, that they would hope in you again. And Father, I thank you that, Lord, you're able to redeem the time for those that have thought that it was too late. God, you can redeem time, even days and hours and months and years that have gone past. You can redeem time. Because, Lord, our hope is in you. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Listen, I want you to do something this morning, or this afternoon. If you felt God just reconnecting some things in your life, the hope that you may have had abandoned and just kind of laid aside, I just want you to stand for a moment. Just to stand to your feet. It's easy to get discouraged in this life. It's easy. There's so much that's negative, that's pressed upon us, that's thrown on us, that we deal with in the course of our lives. I understand that. But I am praying that today you have heard the Spirit of God. I see some of you all, it is so incredible what God wants to achieve in you. It is beyond what you have dealt with. It is beyond what you've had to struggle with. But it requires you to hope in him. What I'm asking you today is, moving forward, don't misappropriate your hope. Don't put it in other things now. It's important that you keep your hope in God because you remember who God is. See, he's the one when everybody and everything else fails, he can still come through. That's why your hope should be in him and him only. The disappointment comes when our hope is in the wrong place. Today, we want to realign that hope, that our hearts don't have to be sick, but we can begin to experience the fulfillment. I see some things coming to fulfillment for some of you all already. Because your hope is being realigned, and that's what God wanted. It brings glory to him. I ask one last thing, and I'll close. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8 and 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth for the establishment of the covenant that he sware unto your fathers as it is this day. The beginning part says, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. God is reconnecting you with this hope. Don't forget him. Don't forget him. Father, as you see these that are standing now, acknowledging your reconnection of their hope in you, God, I pray that you would give them the fortitude, Lord, the faith, the love, and the hope to resist the pull of the enemy, to resist the circumstances and situations that would seemingly become out of alignment to what you want to do, but that their hope would be in you. And Lord, you said, hope maketh not ashamed. It doesn't disappoint. And I pray, Father, that they would experience all of the things that you've promised in accordance to the hope that you've given them. In Christ's name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm finished. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir.